And it's great to see him and chat to him on a Tuesday morning. Good morning to you, Rocket.
Morning, Daniel. How are you, mate? All right?
Very well, thank you. I must admit, you have changed my viewing experience of the world of football through this year, because I know, particularly on a Sunday and a Monday, because I know that after a Sunday-Monday game, it's not too long before I get a chance to talk to you and ask you about how you are seeing the games. I think about your emotions, particularly in games last night, Rocket, where where I can imagine you sitting there watching the telly going, "Oh, for God's sake!" and getting
Go
quite involved
the
in
why
the contest.
Are you going down? Why?
What's that?
Yeah, I said, yeah, emotions about why they don't use a corridor, especially going Melbourne in the second quarter, going with the wind or the rain going one way. They got the ball at the back end of the square in the corridor and kicked it wide to the wing, then it ran out of bounds.
How often did that happen? But they did it all night, Rocket. Even when the game was on the line, they still went out wide rather than rolling back through.
No, they're turning. A lot of teams turn to the boundary. I know it's that we talk about lack of scoring. I know it's difficult last night with the wet and the rain, but it's why they don't score. Teams don't score is they turn boundary consistently, kick to the forward pocket or kick to the point post. Interesting that Simon Goodwin at halftime said be a bit more daring with the ball in hand. But either that didn't get said to the players, or the players didn't listen, or it didn't register. So
or they can't rock it. This was my point with Whitey this morning. They're that drilled to play that boundary, look outside, pocket sort of stuff that they actually physically can't bring themselves to do it. It's not habit, not anywhere near part of their repertoire. They just don't do it.
No, it's a bit like that. And teams that can pull the trigger and go inboard, or I mean, if you get to a contest, say it's centre half forward, even a little bit closer to goal, and it's now there's a lot of one-on-ones. No, normally Fremantle have got players back, but they didn't as much. It gives a forward a chance. If you're a one-on-one or even a two-on-two, it gives you an opportunity. But when you're kicking into 10-on-10 or 10v8, you're not much chance of getting the footy. So it's a bit of a scramble. So I still think the team will win, apart from injuries will have a big say. But I think a team that's prepared to try and score, I reckon it'll be in the best shape because they all defend well. So the team that tries to score will be the team that actually, I think, gets in front at the end of the day.
Well, if you look at the overall picture, that seemingly is the Cats, isn't it? I mean, they're defending outstandingly. They've got the highest pressure ranking and best defence in the competition at the moment, maybe, as well. But their attack, Rocket, is what's captivating everyone's hearts.
Yeah, and especially when they get to the paint or to the wings, you know, a bit maybe just on the centre circle, but a little bit back, they do go a lot quicker. They do try and overlap, and they do try and get the ball in. So I think it was interesting last night, Justin Longmuir saying, and hopefully, and I saw a little bit of it last night, they tried to move the ball a little more quickly. I think they've been very measured this year, the way they've moved the ball, very kick, mark, more about trying to set up defensively while they've got the ball in hand. Now, we know they've defended well and they've got a good system in place, but they've got to be able to try and score, and I think Walters going forward has helped a little bit. Now he's just been able to create something out of nothing rather than be as much in the midfield. But they did move. No, there was overlap. There was blokes running past, and they handballed a little bit more, even though it was wet. So I think if Fremantle can develop that even more next season, they can be a real threat for the finals.
If you're Simon Goodwin at the moment, Rocket, are you doubting yourself at the moment in as a coach as to what you're saying and what's actually being delivered by the players? Or is it just because of the year it is, because of the lack of being able to get out on the park as a full group to train what he's trying to explain, that there's an out there?
There maybe might be an out, I suppose, that they don't train enough. But I think as a coach, you've got to ask the hard questions yourself. I don't think there's no benefit in sweeping anything under the carpet. Even if it's not reality, you've still got to ask the question, are they listening enough? Is the system working? What do we need to do different? Where can we improve? You've got to continually ask those questions even if you're on top of the ladder. So certainly what he said at half-time, when he had to be more daring with the ball and that didn't eventuate, those type, and going boundary in the last quarter, which they look threatening at times, but they still hugged the boundary, especially that far side of the ground, a fair bit in that last quarter. Needs to ask the question himself, his match committee or his coaches, and then ask the players and have a chat with the players. The players need to take some ownership as well, and why they're not doing that.
Because it doesn't seem to add up that he says a certain thing and then it's not then done by the players. Now, I know there's another team out there as well that might make that difficult to do what you want to be able to do, but even watching him last night come down onto the bench for the last 10 or 12 minutes, finally there was some urgency about even Simon in his body language and the way that he was, you know, trying to urge his team, you know, and they did seem to respond in the last 8 minutes. They did move the ball quickly, and I think they kicked 2-5 or 2-6 in the last quarter. So they could do it, but it just takes so long for them to do it.
Yeah. Yes, whether the... I think we're obviously guessing what the answer is and why they're not. Whether coaches in general are too measured, and it's like, it's just like having a chat like we are, and the players go, yeah, okay, yeah, heard that. But if you add a bit of urgency to it, like as Simon did the last 10 or 15 minutes from the bench, or the way, you know, I mean, John Kennedy Sr. was the best at it, but Parko was good, and so was Alan Jeans. The tone all up and down and emphasised points, and you go, oh, okay, that's a real serious point. Now, this is what we've got to do. Dennis Pagan was very good at it as well. So I think being able to do that accentuates it, so the people will take, okay, that's a key point, that's a key thing we need to do. So I mean, that's just a byline. I'm not too sure whether that's the case, but a lot of it's interesting. Chris Fagan the other night, they copped it at half, when we caught it at half time, just his urgency, the way, and people say it's a spray, it didn't seem to me to be a spray. It was about trying to lift the group and emphasise some points and show some emotion, and the players do react to that. And there's no doubt, and most of it react in a positive way.
Oh, that's a really interesting point, Rocket, because I'm with you on that. It didn't seem to be a spray, but because, to Whitey's point, because we so rarely see that from a lot of coaches, that animation, that intensity, that real energy, we start to think, oh, boy, he must be having a real crack at him. It didn't seem to be having a crack at him at all. He just got really invested emotionally and wanted to get some sort of response from them physically on the back of the conversation. I thought that's a really good insight, I reckon.
And I think this is the thing, is that so much of this is perception, because you see Justin Longmuir, who is so measured and just so calm, and he gets a result out of them. He gets a spike out of them or whatever. But I think a lot of Melbourne, and I'm sort of speaking here on behalf of Melbourne fans, are saying you just feel at times you want to get those players and shake them and give them a bake to get them to respond, because it feels like they're playing the game where they're not, they're just playing the game. They're not playing to the scoreboard. Like Melbourne were, they're 4 goals down. Same against Sydney. They're 4 or 5 goals down and they're still just meandering along, just doing their thing. And so, guys, you're 5 goals down. Show a bit of urgency.
Yeah, but you see that from Justin Longmuir, don't you, in the coach's box when they go there? You can see him, he's invested, like he's looking at things and trying to get things to happen and do that. And even at quarter time and three-quarter time, sometimes you can see the footage, Rocket, that he's like, he's hunched over, he's in there, he's got real good body language, and he's articulating and emphasising some points. He's not banging whiteboards or anything, but he's articulating and emphasising points. And you can see that that's enough sometimes, that just to have that little bit of an energy change.
Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about that. And why do you use the word spray? But it's not giving them the spray. It's increasing the intensity and urgency, and your own voice can lift up and down, and then your motion of your body as well. And what? And I think if you just measured the whole time and just like having a discussion like we are, well, it becomes humdrum. Players fall into humdrum and go, oh, yeah, okay. Well, it's not... Because the player's view of what a spray is today is different to what it was 10 or 15 years ago. So you got to be mindful about how that's delivered. But you can still get a bit of urgency and a bit of positivity with your voice, but it can be really urgent and say, well, as I said, what Chris Fagan did, people saying it's spray, that wasn't a spray. That was about to the whole team about, this is the point I want to make. This, and we don't know what he said, but he might have said, we are good enough. We are, you know, we can do this, but we need to do A, B and C. And we need a lift from you, Whitey. We need a lift from you, half. This is where you can go, et cetera, et cetera. And people want to say, well, that's a spray. Well, it's not a spray. It's about trying to get the team up and, I suppose, be a circuit breaker. And that's what we're talking about, isn't it? We want a circuit breaker, the way we're going. We want something to break what's happening.
That is true. That is true. And they weren't able to do that last night. Justin Longmuir, though, was able to do it with his boys. And we were talking before, just on Fremantle Rocket, before we move on to a couple of other topics, how organised they look for a new coach getting hold of a club in, you know, obviously only the last year or so, and haven't been able to get a hold of them from a team perspective too often, as I'm sure he would like to, from a training perspective. His ability to coach a system and coach a really organised structure everywhere, at the contest, behind it, in front of it, is quite impressive.
It is. No, they are very organised, very well organised defensively. I suppose GWS was the only game that someone's got hold of them, really, because even early in the year, the first 3 or 4 weeks, I was quite, Perth, Fremantle supporters were getting frustrated. And I said, well, they didn't blow another water, though. They weren't a chance to win it. So there was a lot of positives out of it. I think the other thing he's done well is move Fife out of the action a bit, played more kids, and he's given confidence to the younger players, and they've really responded. Yep. It just needs, and he mentioned it last night, they just need to work on their connection and going forward and not be as slow and measured with the ball going forward. I suppose he wants to bed down their system defensively. And you can see what they're trying to do offensively as well, but I think that's got some growth in it. And if that can grow and they can take their chances, they could be a threat. Because if Hogan gets himself up and about, and they've got Tabanar as well, now they've got some, and got Lob down there, they've got some talent to kick goals. It's just been able to get the ball in there quick enough.
He just feels like he's that missing link, and I know I'm stating the obvious with Jesse Hogan because he has been such a good player over a long period of time at times, but just there's a few times yesterday, half, where, you know, the connectivity, leading up and marking the ball inside the semi-square and wheeling around and looking forward and then having players ahead again. Like, he feels like he could be the missing link if he can get his, you know, his, not just his body, but his head right to be the player that we all think he could be on a consistent basis.
Well, Justin Longmuir was talking after the game about Jesse. He was asked by the boys on the couch about him and his future. And he goes, look, he's a guy that's impressed me with the ability to invest fully in himself and in the team, and hopefully has a long future with Fremantle. Now, he's had injury challenges this year. It was a foot or something, ankle or something, that's kept him out of play and training for a lot of the season as well. So he's, as you say, there's a whole lot of connection problems with him at the moment from him, his teammates further afield. But the more they play together, the better they'll be. And we know he's a talent. He's just got to get himself out there and have some continuity in his games, week in, week out.
And there's a future with Freo as well. I mean, the two top 10 draft picks didn't play yesterday. So there's still a lot of upside with Freo. They're a team you'd want to invest in.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And as I said before, the youth have done really well. And that's, you know, it's interesting. Hawthorn just played a little bit better on the weekend, but playing kids, the kids will surprise you. You've just got to put them in and give them a go. And Longmuir has done really well with that.
Done really well. What about the Bombers? By the way, the Demons, 13 in the last 14 years, they haven't played finals. That's an average record. We talk about the Bombers' record in finals and ability to win a final, Whitey. That's, what is it, 15 years or so at the moment?
It's a long time, Daniel. It's a long time.
Well, I'm just talking numbers, 13 to 14 for the Demons. Don't get emotional about it. We're just talking about this from a football sense and just dealing with pure data, Rocket. It's what we do around here. Before you go, Rocket, Matthew Lloyd was interesting yesterday talking about the Bombers, and I think he's tried to, at times, distance himself from going too hard on the Bombers because he is emotionally attached. Yesterday, he said that, I've had enough of that. It's time to let loose.
That was as bad a half of football as you'll see. 12 goals to 2, smashed in disposals. That, look, how do you give a team 60 marks? You try and keep a team to under 80 marks, and they've given 60 marks to Geelong in the first half and then out-tackled. The Bombers have got no respect in this competition anymore, and that hurts me to say that from where I'm at, Damo, and where my heart is as an Essendon person. But who are they? What's their brand? What do they stand for? They've become a bit of a laughing stock of this competition. It really hurts me to say that. You know, since round 6, they've beaten Adelaide, Hawthorn and drawn with the Suns. Smashed by Brisbane. Smashed by the Western Bulldogs. Smashed by St Kilda. Smashed by Geelong. And then they've lost to Richmond, GWS and West Coast. So they just don't beat anybody of note, Damo. And I think it's just becoming really tiring for Essendon people who have waited and been patient for a long time, and yet you hear John Worsfold yesterday say, you know, we're 3 pre-seasons off Geelong. No, you're not, John. Your team has been nowhere for so long. Why keep making those excuses? Put your hand up and say, we've got so far to get. And, you know, I look at Port Adelaide, I look at Brisbane. You know, they're all said enough's enough over the years and they've got somewhere, whereas Essendon seem to wallow in mediocrity time and time again.
It's about as angry as Lloyd he gets. That was on the AFL website yesterday. Mm. He's a very measured man, more often than not, Rocket, but he was a bit emotional talking about his Bombers.
Was. And I think probably, apart from their performance, John saying that they're 3 years behind Geelong, well, everyone within the Essendon camp were saying finals. They were talking finals. You hear the players talking finals. So that was obviously where they thought they're at. And you mentioned Justin Longmuir earlier. Well, he's been there 6 months and he's got a system going. So that doesn't... Essendon, Matthew Lloyd saying that they haven't got a brand, you don't know what they stand for. In other words, have they got a system? You don't know what they're trying to achieve. So that's been going for a while and the Fremantle can do that in 6 months. So I'm a bit like Lloyd and probably the guys on the couch last night. I'm not buying that they need to be better than what they are. They've showed that they can compete with the good sides, but for whatever reason, their attitude and their intensity and work rate fluctuates too much, and I don't really know the way that they want to play.
That's not ideal. I wouldn't have thought.
No, that's right, because their good's very good, and they move the ball quickly, and they sometimes we're critical. Media were critical of them last year about their pressure. Was not pressure, it was always coming from the back. They're trying to drive the ball forward, but that improved. Their pressure early in the season was quite good. Collingwood was fantastic, but it was non-existent the other night. It was a little bit better in the third quarter, and they lifted after, obviously, a bit of a laugh at half-time, but I don't see what they're trying to achieve. It's too inconsistent. Now, you see the best and say, that's the way they want to play, but they don't do that for the next 2 weeks. So, and they've got some players out, we know, but every team has. And this season is going to be one where you've got players out.
One of nine, Whitey, the Bombers have won. In their last nine games, they've won one game.
Yeah, I just think, I've said this many times, Essendon had a lot of injuries and that was a clear factor in not being able to win games. But then as they've fed the players back in, they've lost all momentum and all system. I wouldn't say confidence because they play all right
system,
at a time.
If you know what you're doing, you can't lose your system.
No, but what I'm saying is that they've lost all system in that you just don't know what you... They just don't seem to know what they're doing. But the biggest issue I have with Essendon, and this can't be blamed on injuries, is that, as I made the comment yesterday, since round eight, they have not kicked more than one goal in a game in the first quarter. So that's just unacceptable. So they're always behind. So they're always up against it. And this is a team, as I said earlier today, 3 years in a row, 2017, 18 and 19, they won 12 games. So this is not a poor team. And
it's an average team.
I'm sure a lot of... It's an average team, but I'm sure most teams would go, we've got to be careful of Essendon. We just don't know what we're going to get. We've got to have our wits about us because we don't know what Essendon's going to turn up. You're never really sure. But I think that's not just the opposition. It's their own team.
It's a question for you. I know it's dangerous to do it this way and it doesn't work that often, but if you put Fremantle's team on paper and Essendon's team and compare them, as in talent-wise, doesn't mean they're going to perform, you would put Essendon a fair bit in front of Fremantle. You would.
You would.
Player for player. Now, there's other things that go into that. The things that go into that then is the attitude of players to be able to perform. So the question Essendon players in that way. The system and actually gelling together. So there's working as a team, but then working the system the way they want to play. So there's Fremantle, to me, are way in front of them.
Yep.
But I think it's a really interesting comparison, Rocket, because Essendon have won more games than Fremantle this year. Essendon beat Fremantle, albeit all the way back in round one.
They actually haven't won more games. They've got another. They've got a draw. Six games apiece they've won.
Oh, they're going to... Okay. Okay, then. Essendon's ahead of Fremantle on the ladder. but when you see the way the season has unfolded, you're more likely to invest in Fremantle than you are in Essendon. And it's because of the way that they're coached, and you know what you're going to get from Fremantle when they play. They might not win, but it's they're not win because they're not good enough, or they it's not because they haven't given their all, or they haven't. You can't sort of see what they're. I'm really stuffing up here, but what you. But when you see Fremantle play, you actually understand what they're trying to do. When you watch Essendon play, you can't really understand or get your head around what they're trying to do, and it's not consistent.
It's more the consistency. It might be one week where they're going, I can see what they're trying to achieve, and the next week it's different. And they fluctuate in their effort and intensity, especially around the ball, so the contest, and more so they're putting pressure on the opposition. That's always a good indicator how a team's effort is going, is the amount of pressure they can put on the opposition. They might make mistakes, and the opposition might beat them by a little bit, even 4, 5, 6 goals. But you can tell the effort of the making the opposition rush into it. Now, good teams will cope with that pressure. And you see Fremantle, they're putting a fair bit of pressure on the opposition, that they work hard. They work hard. And playing kids, what it also does, you actually can make selection statements without even the media knowing about it. So I'm not going to pick Cam McCarthy. I'm not going to pick people on names. I'm going to play kids who want to buy into the system and want to work hard. End of story. So if you, as a 25-year-old, 28-year-old, you want to do that, okay, that you want to be selected, you do this, or you just won't be selected. And so he hasn't had to make big selecting statements because we have noticed, but Hogan, he's covered up with a foot in that, but he hasn't played Hogan, he hasn't played McCarthy, he hasn't played these blokes, and he's played the kids, and they've responded. So I think probably that selection of Essendon, I know they've had injuries, is, well, players who don't want to do that, who fluctuate, who are up and down, Adam, and you know them more than I will, but, okay, we're not picking you. You don't get picked until you want to buy in to be able to play the way we want to play.
Yeah, well, that's an opportunity, perhaps, for the Bombers. What about the Pies, Rocket? Sorry, Whitey, jump in. Go on.
No,
go on,
just, I was just going to say, but that's the thing, is that I don't like the way they play. Like, you talk about, oh, well, we won't pick you unless you play the way we want you to play. I hate that way. It's shocking.
Oh, yeah. I'm not, yeah,
but at least you know what you're expecting.
But yeah, that's right. But we talk about consistency. At least you get consistency, and then if that doesn't work, okay, we've got to change our system. But we're getting inconsistency. So yeah. So let's get consistency, and then we can assess whether the way they play, which we probably both agree that it's probably not great at the moment, and all the fanfare will be able to play a certain way, like Richmond, but they're not doing it.
Are the Pies going to make it, Rocket? They've got the Gold Coast back into this week somewhere, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Tomorrow,
that's later. Next Monday.
The Suns are playing. Who are they playing tomorrow?
They've got the Brisbane Lions tomorrow. Yeah. So they've got the Gold Coast next Monday, and then they've got Port Adelaide. Are they paddling? Will they sneak in and do any damage, or are they just not quite there yet?
If they don't beat the Suns, I think they'll miss. So that's their final as to get in there. If they beat the Suns, they make it. With a 9-day break, you'd think they, even without some injured players, you'd think they should win that. But if they don't, and the Suns are going okay, I think they could miss, because I think Port will beat them. It's a real logjam there now, that because the Giants win tonight, do you think the Giants will make it? I think they'll win. They play Melbourne and St Kilda.
St Kilda, yeah.
They could win both those, and that puts Melbourne will be out, and it puts St Kilda under pressure from the Dogs.
In fact, that GWS security game might be very, very important for the whole makeup of the bottom bit of the eight. We talked about not being able to score for Essendon, and we've discussed that with Melbourne as well through the journey. Whitey, the Magpies are another one that don't seem to be able to put a score on the board, Rocket, with more defence focus, I imagine, through the game plan. But they're putting themselves under real pressure because they can't score.
Yeah, but it was interesting. Early in the year, we were seeing their praises. The game might have been in Perth. It might have been the Geelong game when they beat Geelong and Dugowie kicked 5. They moved the ball really quickly. They did try and score. They were zipping around, but they only scored 8 goals, and Dugowie kicked 5 of them. So it's been a constant, even when they play well. They do struggle once the ball enters inside 50. Obviously, Stevenson's struggling. Elliott's played more in the midfield. Goey out now. And their injuries aren't really to forwards, except to Goey. So they've had Oscar and Elliott, and they still can't score. That's their biggest issue. So they need to... Do they try and play... Not keepings off, but they try and hit targets too much and will change angles, which I agree with in changing angles. But is it too many possessions to get to the forward 50 rather than... And they do try and move it quickly, but they'll move it from one back flank to the other back flank to the next other side of the wing and then back and back. Move it quick, but it does give opportunity for teams to roll back. So do they need to go a bit more corridor focus and get the ball in quickly, which teams don't like to, coaches don't like to do, because if they turn, it's a turnover, it's a rebound, it goes back the other way too quick. But I think probably Collingwood need to, you know, John Kennedy saying, spend a bit to make a bit. And I think they've got to take that risk a bit more often of going corridor, get it in there and give the Stevenson one-on-one, give Elliott one-on-one, Hoskin Elliott one-on-one. And if they don't, doesn't work out, well, they're not scoring anyway.
Well, Collingwood had 41 inside 50s against Brisbane and kicked 5 goals 4.
There you go. And that's been a constant for the season. They get it in there, and a few times it's slow, so it's bombing it in a bit or wide, which a lot of teams are doing. But we don't score. A lot of teams that are getting a lot more inside 50s tend to bomb it in. Carlton are the worst. They just bomb it in. They don't try and hit a target, hit a lead. It's very difficult to score. Very difficult to score.
Yeah, and so Collingwood across the...
Sorry, Domo, you go.
No, sorry, I was just going to say, Collingwood across the course of the season, we've got to go all the way back to round 3 against St Kilda, where they kick more than 10 goals in a game.
Wow.
That's the reality with the Magpies. They've hit 10 quite a few times, but that's as much as they can get. Now, that's not the team that it was a few years ago where they made the grand final, where their offence was one of their great strengths.
Completely changed. I still think they're a threat. If they can, them and the Bulldogs get in and the Giants are in, having that week bye, bye before the finals, I reckon gives them all a chance. They refresh, and I'd hate to be the other teams in the top four playing any of those teams that... if they're in form, especially the Dogs are playing pretty well at the moment.
Let's have a look at the games quickly tonight, Rocket, before we let you go. We've got the Crows and the Giants. A couple of big outs for the Giants. Daniels, Perryman, Mumford, he's a big out. And Williams, Caldwell, Reid, Jacobs, Langdon comes in. And McPherson comes in from Pohokey on the Adelaide perspective. Any chance the Crows, raging they are at the moment, Rocket, coming off a win?
Yes, well, we sort of half picked that against the Hawks that time. We thought maybe the time they're going to win. So I like the way Adelaide are trying to play. No, they're handball and Crumby a bit too much, but at least they're trying to generate some positive play. And you don't know which Giants is going to turn up, as we've spoken about Essendon. They're frustrating, the Giants, by frustrating last game and then decided to pull the finger out the last quarter and get up and win. So, I mean, the Giants should win. I mean, there's a final position there up for grabs. They've got this one, then they've got Melbourne, which they should win. So, they should make it. And I'd be worried if I was teams above them. So, they should win. And they've got too much talent. But do they rest on the title of too much talent and the talent will get us over the line? Only time will tell.
We'll see. And the other one is Sydney and Carlton. Cunningham, Plowman, Owies, new player, and DeConning come back in for Paulson, Betts, Pitnett and Dow. Sydney have been very, very good. The Blues have been off the radar a bit.
Yeah, Swans have done really well. I know there's a couple of bad games, but you get that with kids. They can go up and down, but they've found some talent there. Some of the lads we haven't heard much of and didn't know a lot of, but they've done well. System-based again, they're organised, they know what they're trying to do. I'm pleased for Sydney that they try to move the ball a bit quicker than they have historically. They've been a very measured, doer sort of side, relying on creating space for Franklin. But against Melbourne, they spread the ball really well and they moved it quickly on counter attack, which was pleasing to see. So I reckon it's a 50-50 game. You'd think Carlton should win, but if they don't win, perhaps the natives become a bit restless as well, not being able to win this game.
Well, we'll see it tonight. So see how it all goes. Appreciate your time as always, Rocket, on a Tuesday morning. Looking forward to doing it all again next week on the Breakfast Club. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Dad. Adam and Daniel, all the best. Have a good week.